Hello, WHO. This is Herb Planbeck, your farm editor, now serving as war correspondent, speaking to you from Paris. Much history has been written since leaving you a little over a week ago. Much more is in the making today, tomorrow, and in the weeks and months ahead. A lot of it will be recorded over here, where so many of your own men and boys are serving the colors so bravely and well. I deem it a rare privilege to be here with your sons and husbands, your brothers and sweethearts, to humbly carry on, as best I can, the great job Jack Shelley has been doing the past several months. Just what my assignment will be is still uncertain, but of this you can be certain. I will see as many of your boys as I can to report what they're doing and to reassure them of the way you are working and praying for the joyous day of their return. While awaiting my assignment, I'm busy preparing and acclimating myself, and in making arrangements whereby, through the magic of radio, I can tell about your loved ones. Meanwhile, a very brief report regarding my own activities, since I last saw those brave smiles and bade fond farewells to the folks back home. First, a word about the trip over. It was made by plane, through courtesy of the Army Air Transport Command. Our flight, made in one of those majestic silver beauties of the skyways, the giant C-54s, carried high-ranking military officials, Army surgeons and nurses, enlisted men with specialized training, and war correspondents. It was the smoothest and fastest trip I ever experienced. Obviously, I cannot refer to the route, but each meal found us in another part of the world. I was privileged to spend some time up with the crew. To me, the instrument panel was out of this world. To them, it was simple arithmetic. The trip was a thrill from beginning to end. The feel of the ship's power, shimmering reflections of moonlight on the broad Atlantic, bright sunshine on the fleecy white clouds between us and the ocean blue, and realization that every person on the plane was on a mission of service. It was more than a thrill, it was a revelation, and I'm most grateful to Air Transport Command. On arrival at the airfield here, the first thing to impress me was evidence of our American production miracle. Countless military planes and hundreds of trucks carrying supplies and food to fighting men. In Paris, there are innumerable observations to be made. I was struck by its beauty and sites of historic interest, by its seeming gaiety in a few areas, and by its somber and cold appearance elsewhere. After having seen the devastation wrought by war in London and at Brest, it was surprising to me how little outward damage is to be found in Paris. It is not hard, however, to find other evidence of Nazi occupation and of hardships brought by more than 5.5 years of war. Instead of the gay Paris so many folks associate with the city, I find the majority of people are very poor, have inadequate food, wear old clothes, and are cold. Rail and other transportation facilities have been wrecked or are overburdened. Trucks have been taken by Nazis. Invasion cut farm production. Black marketeers have cut a wide swath. As a result, a great many people are suffering terrible privations. Most things we deem as necessities are out of reach. Butter, I'm told, sells up to $10 a pound. Eggs, if you can get them, 30 cents a piece. Coal, as much as $100 a ton. A meal costs, up to $10 or even $15 or $20 in our money. No wonder people are hungry and cold. Fortunately, spring is starting. Grass is turning green. Forsythias are starting to bloom. Slowly rising temperatures will make things more comfortable. Right now, it's still cold, even in homes with little children. Hotels and business establishments are without heat. The heavy woolens my wife insisted I take are wonderfully comfortable. Now for just a few lighter references. My knowledge of French is sadly limited. Sunday found me in church, but not a word of the sermon could I understand. Worship, however, is not limited to mere understanding of a language. And really, you should hear how I can sing in French. The next day, on being taken to the Ministry of Agriculture, I was reluctant to let my government driver go, for I knew if I did, I would never find my way back to the Scrieb Hotel. He spoke about as much English as I did French, so we got nowhere fast. Finally, in desperation, I pointed to the minute hand on my watch, counted off 45 times on my fingers, pointed to myself, and then to the back seat of the car. And he was there when I needed him, 3/4 of an hour later. I've had my share of surprises. First, we left sooner than I expected. Second, after an hour in the air, we opened our orders, and I learned it was Paris instead of London I was headed for. That explains why you heard no programs from me through BBC. It also means I'm watching my funds closely for the simple reason that the money Jack left over for my use is in London. Mr. Mellon will probably hear from me soon unless, as I did in Scotland, I find a trusting herdsman who'll float me alone. Speaking of funds, when a person exchanges American dollars for French francs, he thinks he's getting a lot. I cashed a $100 traveler's check and got nearly 5,000 francs. More paper money than my 2 billfolds hold. I thought for a little while I was rich, but it doesn't spend that way. Most of all, in the few days here, I've been impressed by the number of American soldiers all around. Thousands of them, largely men in for a 3-day pass after weeks and months at the front. Most of them still wearing mud-splattered battle jackets and heavy helmets, and many of them with the sound of gunfire still echoing in their ears. Men who are helping spearhead the drive into Germany, many of them from Iowa, Missouri, Minnesota, Illinois, and other central states. And girls, too, nurses, WACs, Red Cross hostesses. And how glad our boys are to see American girls. I've had time to meet only a few of our men and women in uniform. In my next broadcast, I'll deal with a few of them. Nurse Lieutenant Rose Conkety of Davenport, and Private John Karsten, Watchier farm youth, who is at an American Red Cross club, and perhaps a few others of the millions of Americans over here. But right now, this is all for today. This is Herb Plambeck, signing off in Paris and returning you to Des Moines.